In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You have heard it said that faith without works is dead. But the reverse is equally true. Works without faith are fruitless and dead. Thus, the lesson of the fig tree, our Lord Jesus teaches His disciples and us early on Holy Monday. Jesus does not curse the fig tree simply because it failed to produce fruit and satisfy His hungry belly. His cursing of the fig tree is but a prelude to what He will do in the temple when they get to Jerusalem later that morning. The fig tree serves as an object lesson symbolizing the fruitless and dead works being done in the temple. So it is that when they come to Jerusalem, Jesus enters the temple and is angered by what is taking place there. The outermost court, the court of the Gentiles, the only place allotted in the temple for Gentile converts to pray and worship, has been turned into a marketplace. Businessmen have set up shop to make a quick buck selling animals to pilgrims for their sacrifices. Money changers are there making a profit from the exchange they're charging to convert foreign currency into Jewish shekels, probably so that pilgrims could pay the annual temple tax while they were in town. The court of the Gentiles had become a trading post, a place to conduct business, a busy, hectic, loud place where those selling animals and probably other goods like souvenirs were calling out to the pilgrims passing through and urging them to buy from them. Not a place very conducive to prayer and worship. Jesus is none too happy about this, and so in righteous anger, He drives the sellers and the money changers out of there, turning over their tables and scolding them for turning His house of prayer into a den of robbers. And it's not just because there is dishonest business being done there. It's that there is any business at all being done there. His house is not a place of business, period. Not surprisingly, the chief priests and scribes want to destroy Jesus, for they know that by His cleansing of the temple, He is condemning not only those selling and money changing, but them as well. They're allowing this to go on, after all. Not only that, but this was big business for the temple treasury, and Jesus is cutting into that. Besides that, they really don't see anything wrong with what's going on in the court of the Gentiles. They're renting that part of the temple out for a good purpose, to provide a convenient place for pilgrims to purchase their sacrificial animals and exchange their money. If the money changers and sellers make themselves a little profit in the process, so be it. It's good for pilgrims and good for the temple treasury. It's a win-win for everyone. And besides all that, it's just the court of the Gentiles. It's not like they're allowing this sort of thing in the inner court where the Jews are. Just who does this Jesus think He is interfering like this? Remember the fig tree. It gave the appearance of being fruitful, but it wasn't. It was in leaf, that is, in bloom, and even though the full harvest season for figs was months away, it should have had some early figs growing on it. But all it had was leaves. It was void. Likewise, the Jewish religious leaders and their cohorts selling and exchanging money in the temple. Outwardly, they appear to be serving God and His people, but inwardly, they are all about serving themselves. They give the impression of being religious and godly, but their hearts are far from the God they claim to worship. The fact that they do not see a problem with turning part of the temple into a trading post shows how very far they had fallen. Their religion had become a religion of works righteousness. It was all about going through the motions with them. They had works aplenty, but lacked faith. they had become fruitless, for they failed to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. No wonder they couldn't recognize their God in the flesh when he came to visit them. He came to save them, but they didn't believe they were in need of being saved. Learn the lesson of the fig tree and of the temple cleansing, dear friends. Works without faith are fruitless and dead. And the Lord's house is to be a holy house of prayer and worship, not a place of business, not a place of entertainment and fun, and most assuredly, not a place for you to show God how much you love him and to earn his favor. This was the devastating mistake made by the Jewish religious leaders in Jesus' day. And it's the same mistake made by many Christians today. They turn Christ's church into a business and the gospel into a product to be repackaged and marketed in a way that more appeals to their consumer base, that is, the unchurched or unbelievers. They have lots and lots of works, just like the Jewish religious leaders. They're busy beavers, to be sure. But the problem is that everything is about what they're doing, including when they gather together in the Lord's house, which is supposed to be a house of prayer. And this is to say nothing of the plethora of false teachers out there today who make millions peddling their lies in the name of Christ. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, my friends. This holy house you have entered is the place where your Lord dwells among you to serve you with his grace, mercy, and love. This is the place where heaven and earth come together, where you are joined to innumerable angels and saints in festal gathering. This is the place where the better and perfect blood of Jesus is sprinkled upon you to wash your baptismal garments clean in the blood of the Lamb. This is not a place to do business, to be entertained, to have fun. This is not a place for you to come to show God how much you love him, nor is it a place to simply go through the motions as if your mere presence here somehow pleases God. No, this is a place for sinners who need a Savior. A place to confess your sins, plead for mercy, and receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation your Savior delivers through his holy word and sacraments. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Notice the order. We receive and then offer. God delivers and we respond. Faith first, then works, for the works flow naturally from faith. And notice too that our offerings, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, our response, our works are always and must be always done in reverence and awe. Let it be so with us now and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.